Hey guys, Connor from the Ticket Stub, and you are listening to Lone Star Community Radio on 104.5 KCZW LP Conroe and 106.1 KZCC LP Conroe and worldwide on IRLoneStar.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Legal Connection Show with Tony and Cheryl. We are here, Tony and I are here every Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. as a public service for our listeners. Tony and I are two Texas licensed attorneys. We practice all over the state, but specifically in Harris and Montgomery County, but we're all over Liberty County. We're everywhere. And we are here doing this to help you, our listeners, in any kind of legal situation that you're in. We hope that we're covering relevant topics. If you have a suggestion for a topic, just reach out to us at questions@LoneStar@LegalConnectionShow.com. You can call us at 281-529-5862, and you can listen to us live right now on Facebook. Just go to Facebook/LegalConnectionShow and listen live, and you can send your questions in. So we're glad you're listening. Welcome to the show. This is a second part of Homeowners Association. Last week, as you know, for our loyal listeners, we talked about homeowners associations. And so today, Tony and I are going to follow up on what that is and how to deal with homeowners associations. Some people don't know about what they are, and they sort of unwittingly buy in an area that's got a very restrictive homeowners association, and they didn't know what it was going to be like to deal with them. So I'm going to tell you nine things that you need to know about your homeowners association. They're called HOAs. You need to know what your restrictions are. Your restrictions are covenants, conditions, and restrictions, and that should be in the information that you get when you're buying a home. So the homeowners association governs covenants, conditions, and restrictions. They call that CCRs. You need to know that these rules can limit anything from what kind of improvements you can make to how many pets you can have. So before you buy a property in a home in a neighborhood that's got a homeowners association, you need to know what your restrictions are. That's number one. Number two, you need to learn what the HOA's rules are. Okay, you can usually find those online. Sometimes online they're not up to date, so you need to make sure that you're looking at an up-to-date copy of your homeowners association rules. You need to pay close attention to the rules regarding fines and whether they can foreclose on your property for non-payment of homeowners association dues. That's right, you got dues for the homeowners association. Depending on the neighborhood, it could be anywhere from, $75 to $800. I mean, some of these homeowners association dues are expensive, and you need to pay attention when you search online. If you can't get the rules from your realtor, you can't find a current up-to-date one online, then reach out to the homeowners association that governs the property, that the neighborhood of the property that you're considering buying. Pay attention, as I said, to the rules regarding fines and whether they can foreclose on your property or for non-payment of HOA dues or fines resulting from your covenants, conditions, and restrictions violations. Also, you need to learn about the process for changing and adding rules. And Tony's going to talk to us a little bit about that a little bit later in the show. But you need to learn whether HOA meetings are held at a time you're going to be able to attend. Now, I mean, you know, if you're working, it may be hard for you to attend HOA rules, HOA meetings at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you need to find out if they're not held at a time you can attend, or the restrictions are too restrictive, the fines are too high, then you need to consider buying property somewhere else. It's a lot better if you bought property somewhere else than you got stuck in a neighborhood that has an oppressive homeowners association. Find out what kind of catastrophe insurance the HOA has, especially if you're looking to move somewhere prone to natural disasters. So that would definitely apply to us here. Find out what kind of catastrophe insurance they have. That's number three. Number four, consider the impact of HOA fees on your short and long-term finances. That's something that you need to find out what the fees are and plan for it. Plan ahead for it. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, consider sitting in on a homeowners association meeting before you buy so you can find out. Sit in on those meetings. You can find out current and past conflicts, their process of resolving conflicts. Has this homeowners association sued anyone? Yeah, that's something that you'll want to know. And how was that resolved? And you need to be alert for potential drama in the homeowners association meetings. Okay, number 6, make sure you know what your fees do and do not cover. So you need to look into getting a printed history of the HOA dues by year for the last 10 years because those dues go up all the time. And you need to know what they do and do not cover. And you need to find out how often increases occur and how they're set and how large the HOA's reserve fund is. Number 7, make sure the home you have your eye on isn't already out of compliance with HOA rules. That's one thing. You know, you never know.
Well, your broker has to disclose that to you anyway as part of the, under the Texas Property Code, that's statutory. And they get a lot of trouble if they don't tell you that. But
you need to make sure your broker discloses that to you. And consider your own temperament. Number 8, consider your own temperament. The HOA will tell you what to do. Restrictions on some environmentally friendly practices like fertilizers, etc., may be required in some cases, and maybe you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can interfere. The HOA can interfere with your ability to improve your home to your liking. So you need to find out what those covenants, covenants, conditions, and restrictions are, and how they apply to the aesthetics of your home and what you home. Maybe you like this house, but you think it would look so much better this way, and that's the reason you're buying it. Maybe you're not going to be able to do that under the HOA rules that you have in place. So you need to consider that. And the last thing that you need to know is failure to pay HOA fees can lead to losing your homes. If you can't afford the fees or you find them very high, look somewhere else. So those are the 9 things that I have, and I'm just going to read them to you real quickly again in case you're writing this down. Number 1, know your restrictions. Number 2, learn how the HOA's rules, learn their rules. Find out what kind of catastrophe insurance the HOA has. Consider the impact of HOA fees on your short and long-term finances. For some people, that's a serious consideration. Consider sitting in on a meeting and listening for drama, listening to past conflicts. Consider sitting in on a meeting. Make sure you know what your fees do and do not cover. Make sure the home you have your eye on isn't already out of compliance with the HOA rules. And like Tony said, the realtor should help you out there too. Consider your own temperament and remember that failure to pay HOA fees can lead to losing your home. Pretty serious stuff here.
Especially when we learn, you know, all of our lives that, you know, the right to own your own property I'm forgetting the exact wording in the Constitution, but it's your property. You have the right to do with it as you wish, with only certain limitations. But the Homeowners Association, property owner associations, have so much control over limiting your ability to use. And they're really only doing that for the purpose of keeping everything uniform and keeping everything nice so you don't have, you know, trailers and,
right,
you know, goats, and which, of course, our homeowner association, many of our owners want goats because,
right,
in our association we have horses.
Right.
So we're like a ranch and,
mm-hmm,
we're like a farm thing.
And it's
but
neat.
But perhaps in West U they wouldn't want a goat because the, you know, the property lines are only like 10 feet apart from each other and they're zero lot houses.
Right.
So you have to kind of look for people that are, I guess, an area where they are like you, I suppose.
Right.
And
they have
here,
the same kind of idea of what they want their property to look like that you have.
And generally up here in Montgomery County, we have, fairly large lots. I think the Woodlands have smaller lots, but that's that area. You know, they're wooded. They've still got the woods that keep everybody's privacy, and it's beautiful, and everybody wants to live out there. But as you get further out, you know, going toward Willis even, you're getting more of the national forest and larger lots and maybe more ranches and rangy. But it's all different, but just be sure before you buy, you've looked at that first. It's really critical.
Right. And, you know, Tony, you and I were talking about some things that the homeowners associations cannot regulate. I thought that was really interesting. They can't regulate whether you have solar panels.
Yes.
That's interesting. Rain barrels. Now, is there a limit on rain barrels, or they can't regulate whether you have rain barrels at all?
You know, I was reading that, and I think I have it right here. I should be able to go right back. You know, I don't have it right here. I do remember reading about the certain things that they cannot restrict.
And one of them is solar panels. One of them is rain barrels. So mm-hmm. I think that's good. If you want to have solar panels, right, you can have them. But something I think is interesting is they can't regulate your display of religion. But you were saying that some of that is limited exclusively to your front door area.
Right. There's certain things that statutory that our legislature has come up with that no matter what the covenants and restrictions say with your homeowners association, they can't limit you. It's prohibited. And, you know, I had it printed out, but I can tell you right now, I remember what a number of them were. Of course, it was religious, display of religious belief.
Uh-huh.
One was solar panels, and there's some predicate to that. But solar panels, religious belief, rain barrels.
Yeah.
I guess it's for conservatory purposes or whatever. And then it was...
of the flagpole.
No, flagpoles, that was a completely different statute, which kind of surprised me. But the other one was having cover, the type of fertilizer you use for cover. But flagpoles is a different statute. You can, there's certain regulations to it, but you can actually put like a 12-foot flagpole in your front yard as long as it's not within the right-of-way or an easement. As long, you know, if they're going to widen everything, because usually flagpoles are permanent. They're cemented into the ground. But that sort of goes toward, I think it kind of ties in my opinion, to like the NFL, that they shouldn't be able to kneel, you know, if it's even though it's a private institution or you know, with the football players. They should honor our country. And you're showing your patriotism when the national anthem's played, when you show the flag. And so I think that's why that statute came about, because you should be able to voice what your persuasion is. And of course, we're all here in God we trust. And I'm just thinking about that flagpole, thinking I want a flagpole. But I've already got some in my backyard. But I have seen them in the front yards of other people in our neighborhood, and they're amazing.
Beautiful.
They've got little flowers around them, and I just love it. I think it's patriotic.
Right. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. So so it's flagpoles. They can't limit they can't regulate your expression of religion, but there are some, you know, some ways that can be expressed. No, rain barrels, they can't limit that, or solar panels. But you and I were talking about wanting to amend, terminate, modify, change your homeowners association rules, and there are ways to do that. So
yes,
we're gonna take a break here in about 30 seconds. But when we come back, we're gonna talk about doing that. But I just want to say something really quickly. I'm really excited about our guest for the next 2 weeks. It's Sergeant Bryce Herring. He's a 29-year sergeant for the Montgomery County Police Force, and he's gonna be here answering our questions and interacting with us, talking about guns, carry guns, what to do when you have an interaction with police and police officers. So we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to modify those homeowners association regulations. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey guys, this is Connor.
This is Dick.
This is Chris.
And we're with the Ticket Stub Podcast every Thursday live at noon on 104.5 and 106.1 FM in the Conroe area. Also, anytime at IRLoneStar.com. You go to IRLoneStar.com/TTS. You can find all of our social media.
And don't forget, we give away 2 tickets to the Grand Theater on every show.
If you like movies and you like complaining or celebrating anything that has to do with the silver screen, check out the Ticket Stub Podcast and join us every Thursday at noon o'clock on Lone Star Community Radio.
Statistics show that 1 out of every 6 Texans struggles with food insecurity and hunger. And many people don't eat enough fruits and vegetables every day. The Better Living for Texans program is here to help you learn how to make healthy menu choices, save money at the grocery store, prepare quick and delicious meals, get more good nutrition in your day, and get more physical activity. Classes are fun, friendly, interactive, and free, and taught in English and Spanish. We are Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, helping Texans make their lives better.
A Lone Star Community Radio is Montgomery County's radio station with talk, music, weather, and traffic for Montgomery County. Have a question or comment about one of our shows? Want to know how to reach a host? Just contact the station at irlonestar.com or call in and leave a message at 936-647-4444. 3776. Get involved with your community with Lone Star Community Radio.
Welcome back to The Legal Connection with Tony and Cheryl. Today we are doing the second in a two-part series on homeowners associations. We've just been talking about what you need to look out for, 9 points that you need to consider, and what the homeowners associations cannot regulate. And Tony wants to get into that a little bit more about what they can't regulate. And you can have a flagpole. That's what Tony was excited about. I can see the wheels turning in her mind. She's going to put, but is it limited to 12 feet, the flagpole?
You know, I was just had it right here in front of me, and I read 12 feet. I know that you can do 12 feet. Oh, here's a flag display. It's a Texas Property Code 202.012. In fact, Texas Property Code at Section 202 has a lot of things that that should be restricted and the details about it. And I just kind of was going through it, and I was interested in it. Flag display, and this is 202.012. A property owners association may not, except as provided in this section, adopt or enforce a dedicatory instrument provision that prohibits, restricts, or has the effect of prohibiting or restricting an owner from the display of the flag of the United States, the flag of the state of Texas, an official or replica flag of any branch of the United States Armed Forces. I wonder if A&M is included in that. Seems like it should be somehow. Mm-hmm. Secondly, a property owners association may not adopt or enforce reasonably dedicatory instrument provisions. They may adopt one that provides for, and here's kind of the rules, that require that a flag of the United States be displayed. Should I read that again? That sounded a little bit confusing. A property owners association may adopt or enforce reasonable provisions that a flag may be displayed of the United States or Texas or the Armed Forces.
Right.
The flagpole, it provides that a flagpole attached to a dwelling or a freestanding flagpole may be constructed or permanent, longstanding, long-lasting materials with a finish appropriate to the materials used in the construction of the flagpole.
So it can't be some cheapy,
yes, it can't be some, you know, looking plastic thing that you got on, you know, yeah, TV, you get 2 for $1 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The display of the flag or the location of the construction of the supporting flagpole to comply with the applicable zoning ordinances, easements, and setbacks. That makes sense.
Okay, so it can't be like over the sidewalk or something.
It can't be like hanging over the street.
Right.
Okay. A displayed flag and the flagpole on which it is flown may be or is to be maintained in good condition, and that any deteriorated flag or deteriorated or structurally unsafe flagpole be repaired, replaced, or removed. And now it gets into like the regulations.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? Do you remember before Donald Trump ever thought about, I don't know when he started thinking about running for president, but do you remember that massive flag he had in his front yard and his homeowners association wanted to make him take it down? I mean, it was this massive flag.
Trump had a flag, and what's more surprising to me is that he was in a homeowners association.
Yeah, yeah. And basically he said, screw you, I'm not taking it down. The flag was almost as big as the house, and the house was massive.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, he had this huge flag, and they said, you're going to have to take this down. This violates rules. And he was like,
President one day, and I'll take over the world.
Little do you know.
But there's a few more restrictions in our statutes than that. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not in Texas. It says the size, number, and location of the flagpoles on which the flags are displayed, so you can have more than one, except the regulation may not prevent the installation or erection of it at least one flagpole per property. Okay, so I'll say that again. They may regulate the size, number, and location of the flagpoles, but you can, by statute, have at least one. They can't regulate that.
Okay.
It can't be more than 20 feet in height and is subject to the applicable zoning ordinances, easements, and setbacks. We don't have zoning in Montgomery County, people, so it's okay. Is located in the front yard of the property.
That doesn't
mean you can't put one in your backyard. That means that they can't prohibit you from putting one in your front yard. Okay.
Right.
Is attached to any portion of a residential structure or is attached to any portion of the residential structure owned by the property owner and not maintained by the property owners association, that govern the size of a displayed flag, the regulatory size and location and intensity of any lights used to illuminate the displayed flag. So if there's a regulation about that, that could control it also.
Okay.
They can impose reasonable restrictions to abate the noise if it's huge.
The noise of the flag flapping in the wind.
Well, I'm thinking about the one on 1488 right in front of the mansions. I mean, that thing is amazing.
Yeah, that's a big
and it's
one.
Massive, and I'll bet that it was, you know, if it wasn't 100 feet in the air, it would probably make a lot of noise to anybody that was close by it.
Right.
Or that prohibit a property owner from locating or displaying a flag or flagpole on property that is owned by the Property Owners Association or owned in common by the members association.
So they can't put it on the common area?
I think unless you have permission.
Oh, okay. All right.
A property owner who has a front yard and who otherwise complies with any permitted Property Owners Association regulations may elect to install a flagpole in accordance with the statute. So.
Okay, guys, so if you want a flagpole, you can at least have one. I think it's interesting for there to be a statute about flagpoles. There must have been a lot of homeowners associations restricting, saying no flagpoles at all.
Yeah.
And so they actually made a law. Yeah.
Because I can see where the more, you know, snooty homeowners associations, particularly in, I'm thinking Harris County, River Oaks, West U,
don't
want some of the newer ones. And I forget, there's lakes of something out, you know, going toward the Beltway. You know, maybe even a memorial, because these are like little mansions.
Yeah.
And even though they're on large lots of land. Well, River Oaks is just, they have large lots, but they're pretty close when you go down River
Right.
Oaks Boulevard. I can see where our representatives in Congress would want to uphold our patriotism. But anyway, here's another interesting statute before we get into deed restriction amendments.
Right.
Regulation of certain religious items.
Okay.
And this is 202.018. Except as otherwise provided by the statute, a property owners association may not enforce or adopt a restrictive covenant that prohibits a property owner or resident from displaying or fixing on the entry to their resident one or more religious items that display is motivated by the owner's or resident's sincere religious belief. And you know, they've got some limitations on this because, you know, there's so many different religions. It can't threaten the public health. It
right.
can't violate law. It can't contain language or graphics that display something that's patently offensive by a passerby.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be in a location. And then they kind of go into the more details about the location. But the bottom line is you have the right to display your religious belief, whatever it may be. And that goes for Catholics, Baptists, Jewish, Jehovah's Witness, I guess Muslim. I'm trying to think of all the Asian ones. My son really got into that since
Confucianism, Taoism, Buddhism.
Yeah, you've got them down. Mm-hmm. My son got into all that when he was in school. That was like several courses he took. And then he's visited Asia several times, all the different countries. And he came back with all this amazing information about, you know, what the many, many Christians are over in Asia.
Oh,
I was very surprised at the number of, well, because I'm Catholic, the number of Catholic people they had there. I was also surprised, and I'm going to throw this in as a tidbit of information, that there are not many American visitors to Vietnam. When he went there, he said that people would sign in at the places where you'd visit, and he said there was almost no people from the United States.
They were like, been there, done that.
Okay, and so standby electric generators, that's another one. They can't prohibit that. In this section, standby electric generators, and this is 202.019, means a device that converts mechanical energy to electrical energy and is powered by natural gas or some other power. And that kind of makes sense because our trees knock down our power lines.
Well, we have outages all the time. I think the reason that a homeowners association wouldn't want it is because they make noise. They can be noisy little things.
They make noise, and I can see if maybe your electric bill got cut and you're in some, you know, way out community and you're using it all the time.
Yeah.
That would be a problem to your neighbor that's not too far away, particularly if your place of, I'm going to say maybe your double wide is right next to their mansion.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some restrictions on that. But that's just another thing that's, if you go to 202.019, that they cannot regulate.
Okay, cool.
There were some other things in here. I think the solar panels is in here, which I know a lot of people that are into the solar panels. So
yeah,
I
know that was a real thing that people thought they were going to do, but I don't know a lot of people that have stuck with that. So
yeah,
I guess, I guess you know different people than I do, but I know that back in the, what was it, 70s, 80s, people were really into that. In 90s, they thought they had perfected it, and now you don't hear very much about it anymore.
Well, that you don't hear too much about it because people thought it was, remember, well, I know you're going to remember this, and we may be dating ourselves here, not dating, but it's when we had the, in 1976, and I guess the, who was the leader of Iran over there? The Shah.
The Shah.
And the Shah, you know, was left or forced out. And then yeah. we had that massive inability to get energy and gas. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in lines that wrapped around the stations.
Right.
The developers and builders, I think at that time, and I do recall this when I was a teenager, were starting to ramp up efforts on solar energy and making sure we had enough energy to function, just in case we didn't have gas and electricity and, you know, we were prohibited from functioning as a nation.
Yeah, exactly.
And that became pretty popular that the builders were putting together houses and the architects with solar paneling. And you're right, I rarely see that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people in California kind of get into it and the windmills and all that.
I do too.
But they also are into their homeless people and...
Yeah.
California's true. Got some craziness going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my California friends have come back. Mm-hmm. Come back home.
Right.
Right. So
sense.
Here's a few more restrictive covenants. 202.007, property owners may not include or enforce provision in dedicatory instruments that prohibits or restricts a property owner from implementing measures promoting solid waste composition of vegetation, including grass clippings, leaves, or brush, are leaving grass clippings uncollected on the grass. So if you want a compost pile, they mm-hmm. can't stop you from doing that.
Good.
And I know a lot of our neighbors, and we're talking about amazing houses, mm-hmm. million-dollar properties,
mm-hmm.
that like their compost piles. They take their vegetables and stuff they grow in the backyard, and they make their compost.
Yeah.
And our owners association doesn't prohibit that, but I'm thinking maybe in the Woodlands they might.
Mm-hmm.
But this says that they cannot prevent you from implementing measures to promote this. Okay.
Okay.
The
good.
Second is installing rain barrels or rainwater harvesting system. They can't stop you from doing that. There's no predicate to that. You want rain barrels out there.
You can.
I mean,
have
I could
them.
Think that'd get a little crazy if they had a bunch of them and it was, you know, obvious. So they may have to put something in there that, in the restrictions that makes it, you know,
you can't have them in your front yard or something.
So
along the dry, along the front street. Yeah.
Right, that wants to put out, you know, milk bottles or, you know, whatever they are, wine bottles.
Yeah.
I don't know. The third is implementing efficient irrigation systems, including underground drip or drip systems. They can't prohibit that.
Interesting.
Right. Using drought-resistant landscaping or water-conserving natural turf. That sounds like AstroTurf to me.
Yeah.
They can't prohibit you from using that.
Huh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. A provision that violates subsection A, which I just read, they're void. They can't prevent you from doing that.
Good. So you heard it here first.
Yeah. So a property owner association may restrict the type of turf used by a property owner in planting of new turf to encourage or require water conserving turf. Okay. Does that make sense? I think that just means that the stuff that you're making grow your grass can't be, they can regulate that.
Yeah.
They can't get crazy with you or they can get crazy with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is important. The section does not restrict a property owner association from regulating the requirements, including size, type, shielding, are materials for or the location of a composting device if the restriction does not prohibit the economic installation of the device. So basically you can't put a compost thing in your front yard.
Okay.
They can probably tell you can have it, but you can put it someplace that's kind of nice and they dress it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's so many more regulations in this particular chapter, which is Texas Property Code 202. So if you want more information, I would suggest to Google that. Again, the Texas A&M real estate section has got an amazing, in fact, I'll read out right here. It's the, it's called Texas Grande, but it's the Texas A&M like area. If you go there, they've got a wealth of information and articles and frequently asked questions. So I promote anybody to go look there if they have some questions about, you know, their deed restrictions and what they can and cannot do.
Right.
What the homeowners association cannot do for you.
Right. But so... That's statutory, but I just want to encourage you, remind you that you need to read what your homeowners association, any property you're considering buying, that homeowners association is their covenants, conditions, and restrictions are. And then if they, you know, restricting your rain barrels and saying you can't even have them in the backyard or you can't have a flag, then you'll know that they're overstepping their boundaries.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go to a break right now. But we want you to know that you can check us out on our website at www.legalconnectionshow.com. And we will be right back talking about Homeowners Association after the break.
You know that there are over 153 million orphans in the world today. The sad reality is 99% of those kids will likely never be adopted. Core Love is an organization right here in Conroe that takes care of orphan children in Haiti, Honduras, and India. We bring the love of Jesus by providing their six basic needs of clean water, proper food, healthcare, education, job skills, and a loving home. Visit corelove.org, that's corelove.org. Will you help defend the orphan?
Hey, Montgomery County and online listeners. Thank you so very much for checking out Jazzy Five's With Soul. What? You haven't done so yet? Well, you've got to tune in. Hi, I am the host of Jazzy Vibes with Soul, Miss Cece Holmes, and I invite you to check us out every Friday and Saturday from 7 until 9 p.m., where you will get the best in old school R&B and, of course, a little smooth jazz to make it jazzy. So tune in. That's right, tune in. Every Friday and Saturday right here on Conroe's 104.5 and 106.1 FM or worldwide at irlongstar.com.
Our talk shows and music shows are looking for sponsors. Want to expand your brand awareness? Reach the hyper-local audience in Montgomery County? Lone Star Community Radio sponsorships accomplish this. Want to see our stats and rates? Check out irlonestar.com/sponsor for more information. Or call in and leave us a message at 936-647-3776 with your question. Get seen on TV or YouTube and heard on our podcast, FM, and internet radio. Sponsor your local radio station with Lone Star Community Radio.
Welcome back to the Legal Connection Show with Tony and Cheryl. Today, Tony and I are talking about homeowners associations. Tony, we've been talking about what they can regulate, what they can't regulate, what you need to do to amend or modify your restrictions, your covenants, conditions, and restrictions if it comes to that. What else do you want to talk about, Tony? I know you've got something.
Well, just I will say that if you live in a community and you are like us and, you know, we've lived out here for like in our residential subdivision where our homestead is for like 20 years, we really didn't get out a lot because, you know, you want to maintain your privacy and it's your home and you don't want to bug your neighbors and because it's an emergency or there's a flood. And, you know, we've our homeowners association, we really didn't go to that many meetings either, but we started going, particularly after Harvey, because they needed an emergency system in case all of our, and Ike too, of course we weren't attending then, we should have been, in case your neighborhood needs to have a way to determine whether somebody's hurt or there's an emergency, to show without having to actually go up the drive, because we all have gates. And I this is kind of funny. I learned for the first time, this is really bad at my age, I didn't know this, but many of the gates, these like in the gated communities, have pedestrian openings in the gate. So you have a gate to get in, and almost all of them are electronic, and you get beeped in, you know, and a lot of times they have cameras and what have you. But I was going to meet some of my neighbors, a number of them, just for a number of different reasons, but particularly because I was getting into this homeowners association stuff. I went to go meet them, and I didn't know that, I didn't know these places had pedestrian gates because our gate doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was jumping the gates, and one of the guys was actually watching me from his house jump the gate. He's the guy that put my tennis court in. And he said, well, why'd you jump the gate? Miss Collins, why'd you jump the gate? And he goes, I have a pedestrian gate. I'm like, what? I had no idea that I could go through the gate. And I was jumping all these gates.
How funny.
I guess before, what was his name? The one that is a girl now that was on the Kardashians?
Jennings?
Yeah,
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, I was like Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
well, not like him. I didn't change sexes or anything. But I was like OJ. I was jumping gates and running down blocks.
OJ, run.
And they're like with my bionic hip, and then I learned that I could have just very calmly walked through this gate. And I'm just going to give a shout out to my homeowners association without saying which ones they are. They these people are wonderful, and it really, after really just speaking with them and meeting them, I had no idea what a wealth of kindness and friendship we had in our community. And you know, I was a little bit shy, in fact very shy at first, and after I met them I was like, oh my gosh, this is just I hate to say I felt the love, but it was really nice.
That's
and shout out as particularly to, if I can remember all their names, everybody was great, but just the Lokis and Josephine and Sharon and the Mondays were so funny. Everybody just, so everybody take a chance, just like they tell you in church, and go meet your neighbor in person, not just online.
Yeah.
It was just really fulfilling, and I think it was a great thing. Okay. That being said, a lot of people do have problems, or they don't understand their deed restrictions, and it's kind of difficult, and you don't even know that you may be in violation of them,
right?
Or you want to do something and you're afraid you will be after you've read it, and you may not be.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if in question, you can always give us a shout out, you know, on our webpage, and
we'll
try to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But you can always ask your homeowners association board, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people on the board are not paid. It's voluntary. And there's some perks to it, though, because you're right there kind of, whether there's somebody watching what you're doing or you can help, you're there to modify them or have some say in it. But it's a lot of work. And the people I've talked to that were past association board members couldn't do it for a long time because there is a lot of, you know, it's emotional, people's houses. And they get crazy over tiny things, or maybe they're not getting crazy enough over big things.
Right.
So, and the things I learned were crazy. I mean, really crazy. And,
yeah.
But a lot of people in our neighborhood want chickens.
Yeah.
And I just love chickens. Mm-hmm. I'm for that too. And so we were looking into how you amend the deed restrictions to have chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And after my discussion with most of the group, I would say everybody wants chickens. Not a lot. This is not a group of farmers out
just
here.
Just a couple of cute chickens.
But just
chickens.
Cute, because mm-hmm. we've got all large, you know, number. The minimum is like 5 acres in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And people want their horses and their ranches, and chickens kind of go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking into it. And basically, what's important to know, first of all, is the board is elected, and they're doing you a service.
Right.
And it's really, I think, kind of painful when you're doing a voluntary thing like that, and you're having to deal with the good and the bad of it. So you should give them a little leeway when you're just giving the benefit of the doubt because they're working really hard. The second thing is, depending on the county that you're in, the way you amend your deed restrictions changes. It and mm-hmm. it all is the character of the county. And so I actually looked up our county, and the provision starting with Texas Property Code Chapter 202 all the way, I believe it's like 2012, depending on what your county is made up of, the number of people, and, you know, whether it's got foresters on the Gulf Coast or it's by the border or whatever, that determines how you can amend your deed restrictions. And so looking up in Montgomery County, I determined that we fall into, that's the applicable provision for us. It's going to be Texas Property Code Chapter 204, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this, I'll read to, because we're in Montgomery County, I think it might be of interest to people that may want to look into modifying, extending, terminating, you know, whatever it may be with their deed restrictions. This chapter, Chapter 204, applies only to residential real estate subdivisions, excluding a condominium development governed by Title VII that is located in, and I'm going to give you the requirements, and I'm going to put a little, like a condition on this. We have developers and different people that have owned the land before they were in a homeowners association, and they don't apply. And that was why I was surprised that you said Trump had a homeowners association, because people that are really well off can buy land with no restrictions on it, provided that you buy it, you know, you've gotten it from somebody that didn't get one down the pike. Because as we discussed in our last show, you can have personal covenants and you can have like real property covenants that go with the land.
Right.
And many, by now, I would say a majority of the land in Montgomery County, not the forest and what have you, will probably have some restrictive covenant in it somewhere. So it would do you well to go to the Montgomery County property records. Montgomery County official property records is what it is. You get to it online, and you can search by grantor, grantee, your subdivision. But if you poke around, I was helping some people in Harris County yesterday that were totally lost in the property section, because if you go, some of the deeds are so old that they don't show up online.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I believe in Montgomery County, almost all of them show up online. But like in Harris, they cut off in the 1960s. And I was helping several people that were really old, and they were trying to figure out what they
were
had.
Were you at the courthouse?
I was at the
going
courthouse.
Going through the property records?
I was doing it for another client that mm-hmm. had some issues that under case that I was working on. And they're just really lost. And they
it's
really
overwhelming.
And they were just sitting there trying so hard. And so that was my civic duty yesterday. Was I went and I was helping all these people figure out their property ownership, and it was just a little bit of help, but it saved them all day.
Oh, right.
And so I'll just give a little heads up to people that want to go do that here. If you can get online, you can go to the official property records. Like, again, if you know who had it before you, or if it's your property, if you're trying to see if you've got clear title, if there's some restriction or whatever it may be, you can start with your own name and go backwards because you're a grantee. Or you can start with the subdivision name and kind of search that way.
Okay.
You can start with a date range. You can look, and if you look in the records, you can look for the subdivision plats. It's in its own section. So I really encourage people to go to that site and look around. It's really interesting because when you get into really old deeds, you can just put yourself right back there into the mid-1800s.
Right.
And it's fascinating.
Right.
So anyway.
Okay. So about changing, how can we what are the requirements for where we live to change our HOA restrictions?
Okay, so just so we know first why 204 applies.
Mm-hmm.
It's really confusing.
Right.
204 applies in a county with a population of more than 3.3 million or in a county with a population of not less than 285,000 and not more than 300,000, and that's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
We have really close in Montgomery County to 500,000 people in the last census, which if we had over 500,000, we would be in a beautiful position for preventing annexation to subdivisions that don't want to be annexed. But we're not quite there yet.
Right.
We're right under 500,000, and they won't do the next census till 2020. And so if that was another little heads up. If you want your subdivision not to be annexed, you need 50% by statute. They just passed this not too long ago. You need 50% of the homeowners in your subdivision to sign off on a petition saying that they don't want to be annexed. They want to have, whether you do or you don't. Many people don't want more governmental authority over their subdivision, and like our subdivision does not want to be annexed. If you're already in an ETJ, I don't think you have a choice on that, but there are so many subdivisions in Montgomery County that are not in an ETJ.
ETJ is
an extraterrestrial jurisdiction of a city.
Okay.
And because Montgomery County borders, so it has so many cities that border, like Magnolia, for an example, is Montgomery County. But you can be in an ETJ of Magnolia. You've got to look at the city you're in, if you're in an ETJ to that, and your county. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, so amending, or so in order to amend our property, our homeowners association,
right,
conditions and covenants and regulations.
I will say this. We apply in 204 because we're a county with more than 275,000 people. We're adjacent to a county, which is Harris, with 3.3 million or more.
Okay.
And we contain a national forest, Sam Houston National Forest.
Right.
So we fit right into, beautifully, into 204.
Into 204.
Into 204, you go to the provision, which is 204.004, and it gives you the exact steps of what you need to do to modify your a restrictive covenant, whether it's to amend it, modify it, get rid of it, or whatever it may be. It kind of leads you with specific rules on what you need to do. Your homeowners association rules, your restrictive covenants and the conditions in it will usually tell you this, but this statute should override that.
Okay.
So
204.004.
Right.
So they could just go look it up and read it.
Right. And say what you need to do. But
yeah.
How much more time do we
have? That's kind of hard to understand. Oh, we probably have, 10 more minutes?
Oh, good. Okay. So I can go over of this.
Interpret some of that for them.
And specifically, I'm going to go not to how to to change them, because you may not need to change them. It's all relative. It's all on whether you have construed the restrictive covenant properly. And there's a lot of things that go into that, too. And so and how much longer do we have before our next break? Any time? Are we having a break? If we don't need a break? 2 minutes? Okay. Then I want to go over this just briefly.
Okay.
I think there's I guess I should use, for an example, I'm just going to use signs just in general, because that seems
then they'll understand.
It's sort of a loose provision because signs have to be defined.
Right.
And if a sign is not defined by your homeowners association in the actual restrictive covenants, then there's some question about what a sign is.
Right.
What is a sign?
Right.
A sign could be the peace sign.
Yeah.
A sign could be a sign of,
Woo.
Goodness. Maybe signs is like kicking in too. We just heard
thunder strike. Yeah.
Yes, we're talking about signs, Lord. And I was just getting ready to talk about religious signs, and it just kind of came about. I believe that if you have a picture of, and many people do, the Divine Mercy Jesus, or perhaps a statue, mm-hmm, or Our Lady of Guadalupe statue, many people have that would not be a sign. because that is a display of your religious belief.
Right.
And usually it's art, and that's beautiful. So if there's not a definition in your homeowners association, and let's say your neighbor has a sign you don't like, there's going to be some ambiguity, and you may not need to change that. You may just need to get a variance or permission if the neighbor is upset, or work with your neighbor on that. But if you feel confident that other people are doing it, and you may have just one person in the entire subdivision that wants that it's not happy with your sign, but let's say 12 people have the same sign because it's Christmas, and you want the manger, you know, Joseph and baby Jesus,
and nativity set.
I won't say that you have live goats, but I guess some subdivisions might have them. There might be some confusion about it. Then if it prevents you from doing that, you can look at that restrictive covenant. And per the law, and there's a lot of law on this, it goes actually to trial. And so that you won't have to, I'll read you some of the law on it.
Okay.
In construing a restrictive covenant, a court's primary task is to determine the intent of the framers of the restrictive covenant. And that's actually a Supreme Court case in Texas from 1987. In determining this intent, the court must liberally construe the covenant's language and must ensure that every provision is given effect, all right? And that's actually in Texas Property Code 202.003.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of Supreme Court cases that follow that. If there is an ambiguity or a doubt as to the intent of the covenant to be strictly construed against the party, let me read that again. If there is an ambiguity or doubt as to the intent, the covenant is to be strictly construed against the party seeking to enforce it in favor of the free and unrestricted use of the premises. And that's also a Supreme Court case in Texas. What that means is your homeowners association cannot tell you to take something down or to do something, because it has to be, if there's some question about ambiguity, it has to be enforced in favor of you.
Yeah, in favor of the one who wants to put the thing up or whatever.
Our Constitution in the United States, because we don't live in some foreign country that doesn't allow you to do what you want with your own property,
right,
allows you to have the free and unrestricted use of your property that you bought.
Right.
This is not people renting. This is people that actually own. Okay? So if there's an ambiguity, and there's ambiguity in almost everything, and if there's a definition in your deed restrictions and it isn't clearly defined, then you've got an out. Now, there's some other provisions that give you an out, and they and what the outs are going to be estoppel. In fact, let me read out what some of them are, the defenses. If there's a changing character in the neighborhood, it can be that how much more time do we have?
5 minutes.
Five. Oh, okay.
And then we're done.
Oh, no. I love this section. But next week's section is going to be great.
I want to talk about that a little bit after we're done here.
So I'll just kind of run by this real quick. If there's a changing character of your neighborhood, if it goes from, you know, if it's going to be the transitional neighborhood where there's tear down houses, and then suddenly your homeowners association is telling you that you can't, you know, make your house a blue cottage, but suddenly all the brand new beautiful homes are like Joanna Gaines and Chip, and they're making blue cottages.
Right.
Then because there's been a change in the neighborhood, then they can't uphold that restriction anymore.
Right.
But you have to be able to prove it. It's not as easy as just saying, this changed the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of court stuff. The restriction may have been abandoned. If enough people were allowed to build in their backyard over a, let's say, a utility easement or a building line that's never been enforced for 20 to 30 years, then that restriction has been abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a good argument, too. In fact, it is a legal argument. Acquiescence. No one's saying anything about it for a number of time, and they know about it.
Same thing.
Another affirmative defense.
Like the easement, right?
Waivers, pretty much is acquiescence.
Right.
Because if they haven't said anything about it, then your homeowners association can't show up, you know, years later and say, we're going to uphold it.
In other words, to enforce these things, the homeowners association has to be vigilant about enforcing these things.
Yes,
they can't just be lax and not enforce anything and then pick on you.
Now, a lot of these homeowners association rules and restrictions and covenants say that it has to be recorded before it's enforceable. But if other people have gotten the some kind of a variation, or they're allowing it because they may know somebody or whatever the case may be, then they can't enforce it. But you have to go find it and you have to document it. It's not as easy as just saying you can't do it because he's doing it. You have to document it. Estoppel is a really important defense. If the homeowners association, when it kind of ties into these, if you have been, if they're aware of it and they allow you to have your religious symbol up or have your goats or have your chickens or whatever it may be, and they've not said anything about it, then, and they're aware of it and they've actually know about it and have said, just don't say anything about it, that's estoppel. That means that they've basically They're allowing you to do it because they're aware of it and they have given you permission.
Yeah.
Even if it's not
by the silence.
By their silence or by their verbal permission. It may not be in writing, but you've gotten verbal permission.
Right.
Another one is latches, which means that you've, and it kind of goes with statute of limitations, you've passed the time, your deed restrictions may have expired
yeah.
already.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one is ambiguities in the covenants, mm-hmm. just like we were discussing before.
About so signs.
Those are some really big ones. Now, as far as changing the restrictive covenants, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time to go into it, if you go to the applicable Texas property code for your particular subdivision in Montgomery County, I think we've already established that it's 204,
mm-hmm.
it tells you specifically those things that you need to do to go forward and to change them. And it is not easy to change them.
Well, wouldn't the Homeowners Association themselves, if you communicated with them, give you what you, the requirements that you need
yes.
to change the conditions, covenants, and
many
restrictions?
Many homeowners associations tell you in their covenants what you have to do. But
right.
you need to also apply those covenants to the statutory law because it may be prohibited the way they've done it, or it may have changed. And so because the board makes the rules, the state legislature is overriding, all right? So without getting into a lot of details, I know we're running out of time on this.
Yeah.
If you really feel confident that a majority of the people in your subdivision want to change the rules, and whether it be for signs, the type of roof you have, whether it be your religious persuasion, but almost everybody either agrees with you or they want to change it, then it's up to you to put boots on the ground, go talk to your neighbors,
right.
meet your neighbors, see what the consensus is, and then go forward and get their signatures and then present it to your board and go forward. And you it would be highly successful.
All
and
right.
love your neighbors.
All right. Well, you know, Tony, I just want to talk about our guest next week. We have about 30 seconds here, but it's going to be Sergeant Bryce Ehring with Montgomery County. He's in Montgomery County, and he's going to answer our questions about what to do if you have a gun and you're interacting with police officers. He's also going to talk about a new statute about teens driving vehicles. There's something that he wants to tell us about that. They've got some new statute about that. Do you know anything about that?
Tell us about guns, concealment when teens have them. He's going to tell us about what happens when you're... I cannot wait to get the inside track on what is public knowledge, but we just didn't get to hear it right from the source.
All right. Well, listen, guys, you can download the podcast tomorrow. Go to IR Lone Star 104.5 and 106.1 every Tuesday from 12 to 1 and listen to The Legal Connection. We'll be back next week with Sergeant Bryce Ehring. And remember,
you serve God by serving others, neighbors.
Yes, right. Have a great week.